The following podcast has been recorded under the influence of alcohol. While not intentionally offensive, things are said, feelings may be hurt, and f**ks are not given. Clearly, it's the beer's fault. Welcome to episode 83 of Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, the podcast dedicated to movies of questionable quality and the frosty adult beverages that help make them tolerable. My name is Pete, and tonight's feature presentation is the classic from 1994, Tammy and the T-Rex. Thank you very much, Kathleen, for selecting such a delightful movie, a movie that, may I say, might be one of the most Good Beer, Bad Movie Night movies we've ever movied.
Yep. TikTok made me do it.
Indeed. So thanks, this TikTok. Is Kathleen's unbirthday month, so
that's right.
Things are a little weird in September for you with school and everything. So you are celebrating your birthday this month. Which month is that?
April.
That's right.
My faux birthday is in April.
I like to call that your birthday. No, I don't. That's stupid. I should have thought that out.
Faux birthday.
Things are a little weird over here. We've recorded a number of episodes in the can for my impending Japanese trip. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. Thanks for showing up, Kathleen. Dave is here with me too. How you doing, Dave?
I'm terrible.
Okay. I'm doing great.
All right, Droopy Dave. And last but not least, my buddy Troy. Troy, it's been forever since I've seen you.
I know. It's been so long.
I know. Like, forever.
All right. What the hell is going on?
Was it Monday?
It was Monday.
Yeah.
Troy's been a trooper coming over to the Give Me Back My Action and Horror Movies. February is... I get to pick all the movies in February.
And he needs some backup.
I need some backup.
Okay. They make fun of him.
I'm wondering, like, why you guys are hanging out so much. Like, are you in right? some weird... like?
You feel left out, right? And then you realize what they're doing. You're like, oh, thanks for not inviting me.
You're welcome, Kathleen.
That's a win.
Yeah. We had two hits and one surprise miss. Yeah. And then one...
We knew what was going to miss.
I knew.
From the get-go.
Yeah. That was a poke the bear movie selection.
So the one where the guy has underwear on his head.
Yeah. HK, the forbidden superhero. And we can thank our sister podcast, Ruben, down in Australia. Thank you so much for recommending that movie, or at least exposing me to it.
Ew.
Yeah.
So this is the moment where I thank Nate and Charlie for having another podcast so I didn't have to watch that movie. Thanks, guys. My new besties.
New besties. Once again, tonight's feature presentation, Tammy and the T-Rex, where Kathleen is going to start off with the six-minute synopsis, where we take 6 minutes to summarize this movie, after which we'll take a quick break and come back with the evening's first choice of beverage, which will lead into our discussion of this classic. Finally, we're going to wrap up the evening with our six-pack rating, as we let you know just how drunk you need to be to enjoy this movie. Again, my name is Pete, and I guess I've already done the host intros, so there yep. you go. How about that?
Good job. Yay!
Supposed to read off of the... Anyway.
Yeah. After 83 episodes, I think it's funny that you've, like, loosened up enough, like, I got this, and then you're like, every time, no, fucked it up already. And he goes back to starting to read it, and then he still fucks it up somehow. It's highly entertaining to me. I love it, actually.
ADD, I love you.
Well, before I get started with ye old synopsis, I'm going to start with, if I make this under 6 minutes, it's going to be a fucking miracle.
Wow.
So... because this whole thing is bananas. But I wanted to ask this question before I got started. Did you watch the original theatrical release? I don't even think it went to the theater, but you know what I mean.
I think it did.
Or did you watch the newly released rated R gore version?
Yes, the rated R gore version is the one on Tubi.
Yes, and it is also on Peacock.
Right, which
and
is
the
how we
full
watched it.
Gross version.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad.
It was delightfully gross.
Yeah, thanks. That was rude. That's what we had to watch, too.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there was a difference. I don't know that Troy knew there was a difference because about 5 minutes into it, he's like, I can't believe this movie is rated PG-13.
I said the same thing.
He looked at him and he goes, oh, this is the like director's cut something.
Yeah,
I don't
unrated
know.
Unrated version.
Unrated, rated R gore version that they just recently released. And I was like, really? Rude.
So they shot this and with all the gore in it.
Mm-hmm.
And as they were editing it, they're like, we really want to get this to a broader audience and go. They dumbed it down to a PG-13, but I guess the original gore got released in Italy or something, and then it got banned right away because they didn't.
Because gross?
It was because it was gross.
Yeah.
And I want to say like Vinegar Syndrome or Shout Factory got a hold of it and re-released it recently. And that's what we got on Tubi. And
Peacock.
And Peacock, yep.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful copy.
Which is interesting. Tubi, I understand. Peacock, I was surprised by. That it was this version.
But, I mean, it's no more violent than, like, some of the more violent movies you'd find released by Universal.
Oh, totally. So. But just because there are two was more my thought process. But whatever.
Yeah,
all right.
Did it say PG-13 on Peacock?
Yes, it did.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
it was very much not.
Nope.
No.
It's definitely not PG-13.
Yeah. And it wasn't even the gore that would make me question its PG-13-ness.
Yes. Maybe it's PG-13 in dog years. they're not all gems. Fuck you.
Fair. All right, Kathleen.
All right. Does somebody have a timer or do I have to set my own?
I got a timer.
All right. Are you ready?
Ready.
Set.
Go.
1994, cheerleader and sociology student Tammy, who is too hot for high school, has her own phone line and a friend named Byron, a crazy ex-boyfriend named Billy, who's an ass, and a new boyfriend named Michael. Billy wants to beat up, maim, kill Michael. Michael isn't afraid of Billy. He should be. We should always fear the obsessive dude who has no boundaries. The boys have a ball-twisting fight in front of the school. Upset, Tammy runs away. Ball-twisting violence is just too much for her. Michael is confused as to why Tammy ever dated Billy, and Byron responds with the first of his many lines that is just stupid cliches about love. I didn't even write it down. The crazy Billy story is kind of a beeline story in this movie, though through a series of other stupid moments like the ball twisting fight I just described, Billy and his goon friends end up causing the death of Michael. Kind of. Well, they start the dominoes falling anyway. The real crazy in this movie is played by Terry Kaiser. You know him as Bernie, you know, from The Weeknd. He is commanding a flunky named Bobby to make an animatronic T-Rex move and make noise. Bernie is joined by his hench lady Helga and a muscly flunky dude, whose name I never learned until Helga makes a flat joke about him later when he's dead. Spoiler alert, I guess. So because of Billy, Michael is in the hospital. Dr. Bernie arrives, smoking, with his hench lady, Helga. They learn Michael is in a coma, but his brain is fine, and he has no real family to question his disappearance or mysterious death. Win! In front of Tammy, Byron, and drunk Uncle Bob, they fake Michael's sudden cardiac arrest. Helga pushes Michael out the back door of the hospital. They drive him to a warehouse with the T-Rex and strap him to an operating table. Dr. Bernie uses a jigsaw to cut open his skull. Gross. Here's the blood fountain for you boys. Even the muscly guy looks like he's gonna barf. They start poking the brain to make his legs and limbs jerk about. They hook up the brain to the dino. Speak to me. Roar. Success. Bedtime. What? Okay. Annoyed with Dr. Bernie and hungry, Bobby and the muscle guy order a pizza. When the delivery guy arrives, we see the newly created Dino Mike start to perk up and scare the delivery guy, who drops the pie and runs away. They find the pizza on the floor and start to eat it. Muscles drops his crust into the top half of Michael's head. Bobby says that's rude. I agree. And Dino Mike watches as Bobby then staples it back to his body, getting more and more upset. Dino Mike loses it and bites Bobby's head off. He then caresses his own corpse face with his surprisingly agile little T-Rex arms. He also picks up a hand mirror and realizes what has happened. He starts to bust out of the warehouse, encounters muscles, and then pushes him down and crushes him flat, like I mentioned before. From a payphone, Dino Mike then dials Tammy, but gets her machine. These are really the most impressive T-Rex hands, claws, pause? Phalanges? Okay, focus. He gets her machine because despite the fact that her boyfriend, love of her life, literally just died in front of her a few hours ago, Tammy is so hot, she has to go to a party. At the party, Tammy is sad, and Byron comforts her with more cliches. Billy and goons arrive at the party. And just a minor note, Billy's number one goon is the Aaron Burr milk ad dude from Twister. Did you notice, Troy? I think it's a sign. Next, we meet Caveman Ken, the party bartender, for no real reason other than for me to make the crack that he has the same haircut Pete did in 1994. Ooh. It's true. I've seen pictures. Dino Mike thunders up to the party. Dino Mike very gently paws at the Got Milk Twister goon belly and rips out his innards. And then he laughs. Dino Mike bites a girl's leg off in front of Billy. Dino Mike crushes two more Billy goons under a car. Dino Mike bends down to bite Billy in the head, lifting him up, ripping off his head, and dropping the body and the head back to the ground. Dino Mike sees Byron and tries to look at him deep in the eyes. He picks him up, he dusts him off, and allows him to escape. When the sheriff, who's Byron's dad, arrives to find the mess, he's told that it was a dinosaur. Pop Cop doesn't believe it. He thinks everyone was on drugs. Next morning, discovering the escape, Dr. Burner says he will use flattened muscles dude to show his investors that Dino Mike is real and functional. Dr. Burner also says they need to find Tammy. Dino Mike also wants to find Tammy, so he snatches her through her bedroom window. Later in a barn, Tammy comes to and Dino Mike tries to show her that he is Michael. They literally play charades. Dino Mike gets her to guess Brain and then Michael, and she puts it together that Dino Mike is Michael. She starts to cry, hugs his snout. I miss you. I never thought I'd see you again. Tammy tells Byron that Michael is still alive, that his brain is in the dino. Tammy wants Byron to help her come up with a plan to get the body back. So they decide to do it at the funeral. Dr. Burney and Helga spy from a distance. We learn that their whole plan is to put funerals and cemeteries out of business. People will live forever in robot bodies. And, quote, we'll sell more little doggy bodies than anything else because people love their dogs more than they love their family members. Okay, okay. Points were made. At the funeral, Tammy is wearing a blood red crushed velvet high-low mullet cut spaghetti strap sweetheart neckline cut of a dress complete with a metal belt of crosses. Oh, 1994. How I miss thee. Let me count the ways. Anyway, Tammy jumps into the grave, opens the casket, and sees a maggot-filled, eyeball-devoured body that also has rats running all over it. She screams, Byron screams, and Dino Mike, who has wandered closer and is peering over Byron's shoulder, roar screams. Dr. Burney and Helga grab Tammy and try to threaten Dino Mike that they will kill her if he doesn't come with them. But this is Billy's ex-girlfriend. She knows how to fight back. They manage to capture Dr. Burney and Helga, and they use the truck to transport Dino Mike to the morgue to pick out a new body. At the morgue, Tammy and Byron hold up the options to the window for Dino Mike to approve. He rejects all the options. Then, as Dr. Burney and Helga try to hop away, the cops show up. Tammy and Byron drive away, and the cops chase. Cops call Cop Pop to tell him that they are chasing his kid and the stolen Dino Mike. They wreck the truck. Byron tries to stall Pop Cop so Tammy and Dino Mike can escape. They all see Tammy riding on the back of Dino Mike into the sunset. Could have, maybe should have, ended the movie right here, but no. Next day, Byron rides bike to the barn. Byron tells Tammy everyone is looking for them. Cops have followed Byron to find the hideout and demand they all come out. Byron and Tammy go out waving the white flag, bra, not to surrender, but to negotiate. No dice. Cops grab Tammy and Byron. She starts screaming. Then Dr. Burney and Helga arrive, claiming that the dino is only mechanical and that Tammy has stolen it. Tammy and Byron try to explain that the dino is Dino Mike. Cop Pop lets him go in, and Tammy cries. Dino Mike rips out Dr. Burney's guts and spits them at Helga. All cops open fire and shoot at Dino Mike until he falls down dead. Tammy runs to him. Everyone cries. Time passes. Tammy arrives home in a sports car. She is so happy. Her mom thinks it's weird that she's so happy. Her dad thinks it's weird that he's up there like that. In her bedroom, Tammy has Dino Mike's brain hooked up and on up to a video camera microphone thing. She pours a drink. She pours him one drink and then sexy dances for him. The end? Ew.
7 minutes, 56 seconds.
Which I knew was going to happen.
Yeah.
So, I have, it's not the Flintstones, oh, but that would have been a good option.
Oh, because of dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs.
I
was confused.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Here we go. Well,
Tammy and the T-Rex.
Yeah, no.
They're a fun movie. Oh, sure. On the floor, everybody. Get on the floor. Open the door. On the floor. Okay.
There we go. We can't get fired for like weird copyright shit for playing too much of the song. So
boom, boom, shakalaka, boom, 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 shakalaka, boom, boom.
There you go. Yes, it's not really me singing, and I don't fucking care. The end. I want a drink.
The end. We want a drink. Okay. So you've gotten the beers for us today?
I did. Why? So even though these beers that I first brought are a malt beverage, not a beer, and they did not come out until 1999, mm-hmm. I do feel that these would have been definitely Tammy's number one choice of beverage,
oh, no.
Which is the Mike's Hard Lemonade, of which I have spoken many times.
Don't you mean Dino Mike's Hard Lemonade?
Oh, my God.
It's a little bit why I picked it. I also picked it because we have referenced this malt beverage multiple times as where the phrase my friend Wendy and I came up with for tar belly, mm-hmm. when you have like that feeling in your stomach from too many sugary things. And while I don't expect you guys to actually have to suffer from that, I did want to actually bring it onto the podcast.
Bring it on.
So
here we go.
Here we go. Okay.
Dino Mike!
All right. We'll be right back.
In a world that has been completely divided for so long, two movie fans have decided to unite for the people and the betterment of mankind. One, an action movie buff.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother.
The other, a horror movie fanatic. Together, they will try to bridge the gap of both genres into one podcast with their battle cry, "Give me back my action and horror movies." Listen along as Charlie and Nate alternate each week talking about action and horror movies they cherish, mostly from the VHS era. Also, including some modern examples that felt like the movies they grew up with by answering the battle cry, "Give me back my action and horror movies." Available wherever you listen to podcasts. Look them up on Facebook and Instagram.
Not much carbonation there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you really open
that? Yes. That just sounded like a little scary.
All right.
That's sad. That's such a disappointing little.
I know. All right. So, Mike's.
Lay it on us, Kevin.
Hard lemonade. I know we're, cutting way back on the info about the beverages these days, but I did look up a couple of things to share.
Yep, that's Mike's lemonade.
Yep, exactly. okay, so Mike's lemonade is it's an Alka-Pop supplier based in Levittown, Pennsylvania. It's part of the Badlands brand, beverage brands, as of 2017. It was founded in 1999, and it redefined the $3.2 billion flavored malt beverage category. So that was according to Wikipedia. And when I looked up some stuff actually on the Mike's Hard Lemonade site, it said that it is still a privately held company with no plans to go public.
Oh, good for them.
Soon.
That's great. Right.
So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yep, tasting this, I could smell like the behind the bar that needs to be mopped really bad and just smells like bad beer.
Yeah, you mean, so what you're saying is it smells like, what's the karaoke place in Grandview?
Mike's?
Mickey's. Yeah.
Yeah, it smells like Mickey's.
It smells like Mickey's.
So it smells like old Coors Light.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know the behind the bar where you can like take a
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Putty knife putty and just knife. Scrape the floor and come up with like a film.
Oh, yeah. 15 years behind the bar. I am familiar with that.
Yeah.
So we're trying two of these?
Yes. Kevin? So I got the original lemonade because, you know, original. But then Mike's has expanded in the years since I stopped drinking it.
Oh,
and there are a myriad of flavors that one can have. There was a peach. Troy tried to get me to buy it. I did not.
Thank you.
There was a mango.
Oh, I think this one is strawberry guava.
I think it's raspberry.
Hard strawberry. Yeah. Hard strawberry lemonade.
Oh,
okay,
strawberry.
This is hard strawberry. So the other thing I must have must be strawberry guava.
Yeah, it is.
So.
You know what? I don't hate it. I know what it is.
Right. Exactly. It doesn't have... And probably why it redefined the flavored malt beverage industry when it came out in 99 is it doesn't quite have that, this is a wine cooler aftertaste that you get from the old classic Bartles and James or, which were really the only options back then.
There's quite a few, yeah.
That was the most famous one by far.
Seagram's is a big one. Or, you know, the big bottle of Boone's Farm, which is kind of different. Yes, Boone's Farm isn't carbonated.
No, but the Bartles and James, the wine coolers were.
Right.
Slightly, but
right.
Not as much as this. This is highly carbonated.
Which is funny because it made no noise when Dave opened it.
But it made a lot of noise when he poured it into the glass there. I was in college when all these came out, man.
Mm-hmm.
Zima.
Zima was a little before this.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Zima was the first Alka Pop that came out.
Yeah.
And that word, just on its own, is troublesome.
Yes.
It was an alternative. I forget what it was.
Malternative.
It was not called that at the time.
It wasn't.
It was it was considered. I forget how.
Are you talking
marketed.
About Zima specifically?
Yeah. Later the term malternative came, like when just about everybody and their mom was making them.
True.
But Zima, I remember trying it for the first time. It was like in the mid-90s, or maybe early 90s. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know if I could drink a lot of this, just because I can't imagine making a night of drinking just Coca-Cola or Sprite or
right.
something. But I'm like, okay, I mean, it's fine.
Oof.
It's fun glass, I guess.
We had a Zima. We tried it here
it's
been years
ago.
It was
a long time ago.
20 years ago. But we'd been reading a book. Did we read it together? Why did we both know
it was
this book?
We read this book that was called something about love is a mixtape or something. And it was a fiction book about this couple, and every chapter was some kind of thing tied to mixtapes and music. And it was all from that mid to late 90s era. And their favorite drink that they made, and they talked about ad nauseum in this book, was Zima. And Chambord.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we
had to try it.
And it
terrible.
And
actually.
This is 2000. We still lived in the condo. Mm-hmm. So this is 2006, 2007, 2008, somewhere in there. And, we tried it and it was disgusting. we were this is horrible.
How dare he write that down?
I feel like that if you add Chambord at an appropriate ratio, it would be okay.
I mean, we made it based on the book included the drink mix.
Oh, so they just like gross stuff.
Apparently, yeah. Okay. So, yeah. And I remember in early college drinking Zimas. With, everybody would put a Jolly Rancher inside of it. And so then that way you could flavor it, whatever flavor you wanted. Did you want a grape? Did you want a cherry? Did you want a apple? Whatever.
Did you want a crippling hangover the next day?
Oh, yeah. I never really liked Zima at all. So when we first discovered this, it was okay, all right, I can get down with this for sure. And I know we've talked about some of the other... this sort of opened the door to more liquor-based ones.
This was 99, though, right?
Yeah, this was 99.
Yeah. Right.
And so it was after that you started seeing, not too long after these came out, I remember they had the little Jack Daniels ones.
Yeah, the Lynchburg lemonades. Those are in the 90s. Yeah, those are in the 90s.
The Lynchburg lemonades. Okay.
The Lynchburg lemonades. And
those were sticky syrupy. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And they were littler.
They were small. They were yeah. And like they 6 ounces maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think they were more expensive.
This is giving me...
Yeah, because of the sugary...
coating my throat.
Honestly, the strawberry one is
better.
Kind of good. I kind of enjoy it.
Okay, here's the thing. I learned a long time ago, like, just not to poo-poo stuff because I doesn't happen to what I like.
Don't yuck somebody's yum.
Right. And I feel like some things are situationally appropriate. Like, I wouldn't drink a red wine if I was water skiing, you know?
Right.
Fair.
Milk was a bad idea.
Milk was a bad choice.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Like a tiny Buddha covered with hair.
For a stupid movie, I love that movie.
But I feel like Mike's Hard Lemonade has its place. Like, if I were to drink this...
Go for
after
it.
Mowing
after
the
mowing
lawn.
After mowing the lawn. Or, like, if I were just, like, in a glass with ice with, like, a lemon wedge,
mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be bad. Yeah. I would like that.
I would like it with ice. That would water it down a little bit. And thin it out without losing any of the flavor.
Yep. I feel like you could actually use this as a base to make some, like, fun, summery, spritzery cocktails.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, a little bit of Sprite, some lemon zest, some ice, you know, one of these kind of thing. You could punch it up a little bit. It's only 5%.
Right.
So you could punch it up with a little vodka or something, depending on what you're mixing in, if you wanted something that was a little stronger.
Yeah. Or like a gin with some,
Yeah, well, or like one of the maybe, well, I don't know, maybe slow gin would be good with the lemonade, too.
Yeah, actually it would. I mean, it's also very sweet. Like
Chambord's back in the day.
Slow gin fizz, pretty tasty.
They are pretty tasty.
That is an old gal drink,
that
though.
That is, I know. Trust me.
A slow gin fizz, this is the 1950s?
Yes, and Kathleen in the early, the late 90s, drinking at the mill, because the bartender over there, because I made a face about everybody over there drinking all that fucking amber bock, and I was like, I hate this. I was like, you have to have something else. I was like, I need something. And one of the bartenders over there was like, okay, I'll make this. And decided to make it. And I was like, this is fucking tasty. What is this? They're like, it's a slow gin fizz. I was like, done. Sign me up. I'm 112 at 19. I love it. So
you were drinking at the mill at 19?
No, I was 21 when I started drinking at the mill.
Uh-huh.
No, I was. Because I didn't work at Spaghetti's at 19.
But this is honestly invoking... memories of me drinking in the 90s. Like,
oh, yeah.
Before I was 21.
Early 2000s, yeah.
Yeah, like when I was like in like 92, 93. I mean, when I was a little bit different. Like when I turned 21, I started drinking whiskey almost immediately. That's a story for another time. This is a stupid, boring
Dave's
story.
Dave's always been 70.
I was just born old, like Abe Vigoda. Ernest Borgnine.
Abe Vigoda.
For Brimley.
Yeah, just came out of the womb.
It's just not your first time on the planet. That's fine. Right? It's not my first time here either.
But like in the 90s when we were drinking things like Seagram's Coolers and like Bartles and James and Zima.
Yeah.
It's bringing back all those memories of being at a buddy's house, like around a campfire and like drinking, you know, shots of Jack and putting back Lynchburg lemonades.
Yep, and Hornsby's.
Oh my God.
God. First apple cider, I swore I'd never have another apple cider.
Yeah.
I've since changed my mind.
Yeah. Later you realize there's ciders in there's ciders.
Right.
Yeah, there's ciders and there's Hornsby's. Yeah.
Not to poo-poo Hornsby's. It's just
You know what? Hornsby's got me through a lot of good times, let me tell you. I had some good times with Hornsby's back in the day. But it's one of those things where you do better when you know better.
But it was that time, you know? It was that time where like... there was no real way to make alcohol not taste like alcohol.
Right.
And then like the 80s rolled around with the wine coolers, in the 90s is when we started drinking. And
right.
It was on the cusp of the craft brew wave also.
Right.
Yes.
The very front of it. And there was nothing in the market besides the big three.
Right.
And a lot of other shitty American lagers that are just, frankly, they all taste the same.
Right.
There wasn't a lot of variety out there. And this gave folks an alternative without having to order a cocktail from the bar.
Yeah.
Right.
Cocktail.
Well,
yeah.
You know,
well, and
I
like
know,
you
no,
could
I, no, you're absolutely God. Right. Yeah.
You could go to the, you know, you could go to a party and, you know, everything that's sitting there is going to be the High Life and the, you know, the Coors and
the Miller Lights,
the Beast and you know, all that kind of
the
stuff.
Harry Buffalo in the bathtub.
Well, Harry Buffalo.
Oh God.
You
yeah.
only do that. You only do the buff if you're the one that made it because the buffs are dangerous. But especially when you live in southeastern Ohio and you're 20 minutes from West Virginia and the buff is full of Everclear. So you gotta be careful with that. But this gave you that just other opportunity of something different, which was like Hornsby's was popular, which was why Amber Bock became popular because it was something that wasn't.
Yep.
Honey Brown.
Yeah.
Well, honey Brown also. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the 90s came around and like the wine cooler thing was already in full swing. And then like the 90s had, I think, introduced the rest of the country to Sam Adams, which is a macro brew.
Yep.
Which is, you know, not quite a microbrew, but not quite one of the big three.
Right.
And so people suddenly realized, oh, I can drink beer that tastes like beer and not fizzy piss water.
Or something that tastes like ale.
Yeah.
You know?
That wasn't made in Europe somewhere.
Right.
Yes.
What?
I don't think Peter or I like the Sam Adams.
I mean, I'm not a fan of a Sam Adams either.
Boston Lager.
But it still was that it was a gateway to, you know,
sure
trying other things and, you know, being willing to then really step out and try the micro brews and the, you know, things like that. So yeah, but my friend Wendy and I had a lot of really good nights at Mickey's. Me, Wendy, couple of dudes, couple of mics. They all sang. I cheered them on because I don't sing in public. So it's not fun for anybody, especially me. So, yeah.
This
I just wanted
fun,
to,
though.
You know, it's Dino Mike. It's Mike's Hard Lemonade. We've talked about it before, causing tar belly. I just had to.
Already, I'm
yeah,
getting
yeah,
a little
I,
bit.
I've
well, that's
my
why I brought
threshold.
To share for y'all.
Man, thank you.
So, and the...
I got it right here.
Yes, thank you. This I picked up because... More because of it's the Olentangy Read the Can
Brewing Company.
Olentangy Brewing Company up on 750 or Polaris Parkway and 23.
Oh, which we've never had.
Yep. It's a beautiful go to this brewery. It's beautiful. It's
I've never
really
even
cool.
heard of it.
Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah, you brought snow pants.
Fitting for this weekend, which is odd because this episode's going to come out in
April. The one and
only
time
April,
it snowed this entire winter.
Yes.
Screw this fucking weather.
I know.
It's a Russian Imperial Stout. Anything that says Russian and Imperial. Yeah, it's 9%. Thanks, Kathleen.
You're welcome. Well, I figured you'd have a sip or two of this, and then you would have that.
I drank what you gave me.
Yeah, I had more than a sip.
But yeah, Olentangy Brewing Company. Love them to death.
For our listeners who are not familiar, the Olentangy River is a river in central Ohio. It splits off from the Scioto River and it runs along the Ohio State University campus.
And
it's
it is
not pronounced Olentangy.
That's just gonna what I was gonna say. All of Troy's family when they come to from Indiana
in central Ohio and get on Olentangy River Road.
Yeah.
That's not Olentangy.
Yes. And it's also not the Scioto River.
Scioto, right. It's hilarious.
I asked my friend Katie, who literally has an extra educational certification in phonemes, like the sounds that letters make. And I said, find me a word.
Phonemes? Phonemes?
That, it's both. Okay. That starts S-C-I, that is pronounced ski in the English language. I want to know why people see the word Sciota. Because when I see STI, I think science, SCI.
Scare, sci.
I've been calling it skiance this whole time.
Yeah, exactly. Why
skiance.
Why do people and directional programs
You know
say
what? I would pronounce it a different way, but my conscience wouldn't let me.
Right? See? I'm telling you what. She couldn't come up with one, so...
Pete, did that Snow pants hit you in the pants?
It really did. Mm. Much like this movie where they're grabbing each other's testicles.
Oh. Wait, can I open this beer on?
Yes, go for it.
Can I open this beer on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, here. We'll get a nice beer sound since my bottle was pathetic.
Don't talk about your bottle like that.
But yes, to reference the movie.
Good
with
Lord.
The, like, a testicle.
Myself
of course, you always...
The testicle ball fight thing was...
I kind of want to hear you say that again.
It was so dumb.
It was a great punchline, though. The punchline...
At the end, you mean? Yeah. Yeah, so...
You've recovered quickly.
The two, yeah. He says to him, he was like, what's the matter with you, boy? Don't you got no balls? And he's like, I'm wearing a cup. It's like, then what was all the like pain and wincing at the beginning of this fight?
Okay, let's put this into context. It's the beginning of the movie, and our Mike is dressed in some of his football gear, I guess.
Like this
and he's
half.
Watching. Mm-hmm. He's watching Tammy do her super hot dance.
Cheerleader dance. Rehearsal.
Right.
Practice.
Her audition for the gentlemen's club.
So he was dressed for football before football practice, or maybe during?
No, football practice. So this was where I was confused.
He'd said that the coach had really beat him up.
Right. So she's having after school, what I would assume to be after school cheerleading practice.
Right.
He's just finished after school football practice. But then she says to him, walk me to sociology. I was like, is this high school or college? I'm confused. I don't understand. And I literally, in my original notes, wrote, I don't even care.
But then, okay.
You really shouldn't.
I don't.
He's wearing his pads and athletic cup.
Yeah.
Well after practice. Like, that stuff doesn't leave. Like, you go to the locker room, take all that shit off. Like,
yes.
You
he was
scrape
too
it.
Excited
he ran
to go see
of
Tammy.
Yeah. He wanted to see
the hot cheerleading.
Denise Richards so bad that football practice is over. He's running over to cheerleader practice. And you know what?
Denise Richards, Mike, don't you want to take off your cup? Like, no! I'm going to go see Tammy. Leaving it on.
So
might
weird.
Need to contain things.
Right.
So
erections.
Paul Walker, who plays Michael in this, is only 17.
No, what? No.
No.
He's 21. He's 21 at the time.
I looked it up. It said he was
Denise
17.
They were. Yeah, that's
they
what
were
I thought.
Both in their early 20s.
The Google that I said that he was 17.
Okay.
And
I mean,
she was 22.
She was 22. Yeah. Mm,
well. Oh shit. Yeah, he was born in 73, and this came out in 94. So that would have made him 21.
That made him 21.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If he was born in 73.
The wiki page I looked at must have had his birthday wrong. So, well, that makes me feel less gross about
less
it.
Less gross.
Right. He, however, looks 14.
Yep.
Yeah.
And she looks 25.
Yeah.
That is very funny because it's true.
Yeah.
He does have a baby face and she has...
non-baby.
Not a baby face.
Features.
I mean, she looks great. She looks young still, yeah. But she doesn't look like a high school kid.
No.
There was nobody hotter than her at this point in her life, I don't think. She was, there was something.
In 94? Like, even, Cindy Crawford? I mean, there's a.
I don't know. I just thought that she was like
you,
sheer perfection.
She did
yeah.
it for you. Okay, great. Kathleen is not impressed.
I mean, I believe that Denise Richards is a beautiful woman.
Yes.
I thought she was beautiful in this movie. I think she was beautiful all the way up until the most recent pictures that I saw her that maybe a little too much plastic surgery, but that's not always her fault. And sometimes, you know, the paparazzi of it all fucks up those photos. So, you know, till I'm actually standing in front of her, I'm not going to judge what she looks like now.
Right.
But, you know... Whatever.
She's pretty. She's a pretty,
pretty
girl. She got big blue eyes. She had those dark 90s eyebrows, which I happen to like a lot.
Yep.
She had the full lips and like, you know, the big, and you know what? I don't care if her boobs are bought and paid for it. Like, great. They're
who cares?
They're great.
Do what you want.
Yeah.
You do you.
Right.
I'm fine with it.
Whatever. Yep.
But like, she's causing men everywhere to go crazy for her and beat one another up in front of the entire school.
Well, the school that has a restraining order against
him. Yes, and he's just running willy-nilly. So here's one thing that there's a lot of problems with this movie.
Yes.
I enjoy
most
of them entirely. The one thing that is nearly inconceivable to me is I cannot suspend my belief at this point because he's a football player, quarterback, if I heard.
Of course he
is. Based on his size, he's not going to be a linebacker.
If some biker punk is fucking around with your starting quarterback, the whole football team is coming and taking care of business. I don't care who this biker
Billy is.
I don't care who Billy is. Billy's getting messed up fast.
Probably.
And if he even starts something at school with Paul Walker, an hour later, this guy's getting tracked down and he's getting stomped on. It's pack mentality.
Well, and it's not like Billy, even though he seems to have an oddly large collection of gals and guys, goons, none of them are a Hulk.
Right.
Like they're all little twiggy people kind of thing. And so it's like, I mean, I agree with you. They're definitely, but for the purpose of this movie, they kind of needed Michael to be isolated.
Right.
Right.
I mean, he has no family. He has, you know, whatever.
You got a football team backing you up. We don't have a movie. I get
correct.
That. I completely get that. But it was just the one thing I couldn't suspend my reality for.
Well, I feel like they just put him in. They wanted to, my guess is, they wanted to really differentiate between Billy, the hood rat, and Michael, the sweet all-American.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So who's the sweet all-American? That's the football player. Mm-hmm. Not really. And the cheerleader. And then the has been to jail. The school has a restraining order against him.
Like
he
the
has
hoodlum,
Rick Ocasek's haircut from
the
Cars. Yeah. And it's like, no, all of this is.
And he's got a restraining order and he shows up on premise,
which is why the cops,
show
up.
Are there,
yep.
And but they not don't arrest him.
But not a single teacher or admin or anybody. No actual school faculty.
No.
That's because they were still teaching classes, because it was still apparently
sociology.
Yeah. They're all
right. They're like, where the fuck is everybody? Which is why the cops show up. And the cops, they do and don't arrest him. We don't know if they arrest him. They definitely don't hold him. If they do arrest him, because it's the cops that have to make the two of them let go in the ball-twisting fight. And Billy drops to the ground because he actually has had his balls twisted. Mm-hmm. And then, we see Tammy run away and Michael have his conversation with Byron. And the cops are pulling Billy away. We don't see him get arrested. He obviously, like I said, isn't held for long because he shows up hours later. But they do sort of do their job. But I, in my original notes, named those two the idiot cops. It was Pop Cop and the idiot cops. So
wasn't it like Neville and Norville?
It's something. I don't know.
Sounds about right.
What their names were.
I assumed, like, just to pull things into the realm of plausibility, that Billy was either expelled or he'd already graduated. And so that's whatever. And then he got taken away by the cops in custody, but got released because wait till my father hears about this kind of stuff. Because I mean,
nobody pressed charges because I mean, technically he didn't really do anything to Paul Walker because of his cup. So,
I don't know. Apparently he's rich.
Technicality.
Something.
Testicality.
Well, yeah. He's riding around in a freaking Mustang. So
he's
not poor.
Well, Billy?
Yeah.
They've got a Jeep and a Mustang and an Impala, was it? Or a GTO?
I think it was a GTO.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to look for things to
talk about.
To keep me from thinking about this ridiculous movie.
Yeah.
But did anybody, the radio controller of the T-Rex, knows who that is?
I know who that kid is.
Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Or Isaac.
Isaac.
Yes, from Children of the Corn.
Yes.
Yes.
Or it from the
Adam's
family. From Adam's family, yeah.
He was cousin.
Yeah.
I got to sit on a panel. Well, I wasn't. I was in the audience, I should say.
You got to see a panel.
And the whole living cast minus Angelica Houston was there.
Nice.
And he was he was actually late to the panel because he couldn't get away from signing stuff for people. It was adorable.
Fun.
Like Christopher Lloyd, I'm here.
Yeah, he looked familiar
Christina
to
Ricci,
me.
I'm here.
So I looked him up, and I was like, oh, Children of the Corn.
He wants you too, Malachi.
Yeah. Ugh.
Malachi is played by Courtney Gaines.
Is this your first watching of this movie? Have you seen this?
No, this is two or three for me.
Okay.
I saw it a couple years ago, and it's been on the list to do for a couple years. Not on that list, but my secret
mental list.
Yeah. And it just, we never got around to it. And I'm...
TikTok made me do it.
Thrilled. No, explain the TikTok thing.
I was literally just wasting time killing brain cells.
That's what TikTok
scrolling
is for.
TikTok. Right. And some video popped up where this guy was like, okay, I like watching weird movies, blah, blah, blah. But this one that I just learned about takes the cake. And then he showed like
the trailer.
I mean, not the whole trailer, but like a chunk of it. And I initially sent it to Dave and was like, I cannot believe we haven't covered this movie yet. This is ridiculous. And it just looked stupid funny, not offensive or
stupid
gross
insulting
or whatever. So I was like, that is really dumb. And so when I knew that, you know, my birthday was coming up and we were bumping the schedule because of your trip, mm-hmm, I was like, okay, I haven't really had time to think about it. You know what? What was that dinosaur movie? I like literally scrolled back through and like found it. And I go, all right, let's see how hard it is to find this movie. And when we figured out that it was on Tubi, I was like, all right, that's what we're doing. Now, my title said that it was called Tammy and the Teenage T-Rex.
Oh.
Well, yes.
That was on Paramount? That's how it was titled on Paramount?
On Peacock,
yeah. I'm sorry, Peacock.
If you go to the original title, apparently was Tanny and NY and the Teenage T-Rex, and that is still on, at least the version we saw, is in the opening credits.
Yes.
Interesting.
Which we thought about. We looked at that as well, and we wondered if that was like a bizarre, just because they used a funky font.
Yeah.
In like those credits. And I kept waiting for another word that had two M's in it, or even just an M, to see if that was what it was. And there just wasn't another one.
How many things can scroll across the screen and have no M's on it?
Yeah. Like all the credits came through. Not another word had the letter M in it at all.
Huh.
So
nobody named Tommy.
Yeah.
No Marissa.
Yeah.
Mandy.
It was entertain, not entertainment. Like, I was like, oh my God.
Director of photography doesn't have an M.
They're Ohio State fans and can't look at the letter M.
Oh, good gravy. Maybe.
It's a really, really dumb reference.
It's very niche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did enjoy
those of you who know, no.
Right. Well, you know what does have M's is Mac and Me.
Yes.
Which is directed by the same director.
Oh, really?
But 6 years prior, yes. In 1988, Mac and Me came out, and I remember thinking, not only does this movie suck, but I want to find out whoever was actually in charge of this production and kick him squarely in the face.
Wait, have you actually seen that movie?
Because
all I've ever seen is what Paul Rudd takes on Conan O'Brien's show.
Mr. Science Theater came back, and that was the first one they did with...
With Jonah Ray.
With Jonah Ray. And was it the first one they did? No, that was Reptilicus. Don't matter. They've done it recently, within the last 3-5 years, and it's one of the funniest Mystery Science Theaters I've seen. It, of all the Mystery Science Theaters, that's one that I'm like, if I want to laugh at these with these guys, that's one of them.
Go back. This is the second film of this guy?
No.
Oh, wait. You said that Mac and Me was beforehand.
Correct. But he also did like Ice Pirates.
Yeah, Ice Pirates. I saw that.
High Risk. Yeah, he's done
movies. I shouldn't have seen that in the theater, let me tell you.
Yeah, he's done some awful
Space
films.
Herpes.
Space Herpes, right.
And they kept giving him
work.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Somebody continued to allow him behind the camera.
Well, did you hear or did you read why this movie got made?
No.
A buddy of his got his hands on the T-Rex, the animatronic T-Rex. He says, I got this thing for 2 weeks and I'm donating it to a zoo or something. And he went, I'll make a movie. Give me a minute.
In 2 weeks?
And they had this animatronic for 2 weeks. I think he wrote the script over a couple of nights, maybe over a weekend, maybe.
This I did hear.
And
he was like,
and he was still writing it during
I'm sure.
filming.
Not only was he writing it still, he was actually like talking to everybody like on the production, like, if you have
sound?
A better idea, please let me know.
Oh my
That's
God.
That's hilarious.
That explains so much.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I mean, some of the things about this movie that were hilarious to me and like ridiculous to me were, first of all, the whole concept to begin with, but that the fact that
Frankenstein's T-Rex.
Yeah. Well, like the fact that, and what's his name? Terry Kaiser. I just called him Dr. Bernie through the whole thing. But his name is actually like Wackenstein or something. Yes. Like he pronounces it in some crazy Dave shouting a German word type of, you know, pronunciation. But that his whole, he has a business model. His business model is to prove that when someone dies, he can take their brain, put it in one of these animatronic type things, and then they can live forever because they'll be this robot or whatever. And that this first attempt is to convince the investors that this is the thing. He wants to put funerals and cemeteries out of business. Right.
Wow.
Right. Which then, of course, made me laugh when he was like, and doggies? We're going to make doggies. We're going to sell a ton of those little doggies. That made me laugh so hard. And I was totally just like, he is not wrong. Like, I can think of multiple people that I know who definitely would have saved their animal and buried their parent.
Bye, Mom. I love you.
Yeah.
Come here, socks.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is you would have invested in this business venture.
No, because it feels a little weird, but.
Sometimes dead is better.
Right. So, yeah. But, I don't know.
He was probably the funniest character. Like, that guy knows how to deliver comedy.
He and Helga were my favorite characters.
Helga was fucking hilarious,
too. She was hilarious. Yes. She was doing so much shit in the background. Yes. I don't know if you saw all the stuff. I don't think I saw it all, but there were two things that she did that had me on the floor just rolling. There was a... So when Isaac got squished, stomped on.
Yeah.
Who's Isaac? He got beheaded. Oh, Muscles?
No. Wasn't that...
No, he got beheaded, then stomped. No, wait.
Wait, who are you talking about?
Isaac from the...
Oh, Bobby. Isaac in Children of the Corn, Bobby in this movie?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
You got stepped on.
Okay.
And a la Looney Tunes was flattened and she was able to...
Oh, no, that's the muscle guy.
The muscle guy.
That was the muscle guy?
Yeah.
He got decapitated.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, he bit his head off.
Anywho, so the muscle guy gets flattened like a flat Stanley.
Yes.
And when she bends down to start, I guess... I forget what joke she made.
She said, well, because his name is like Carl or something, because that's when the first time somebody said his name. She says, oh, Carl, you're looking flat today.
But she wipes her finger along his face and then licks her finger.
Yeah. Ah! I missed that. Gross.
I backed it up a couple of times. Like, she really did that. She absolutely did that. And the second one is, it'll come to me. So please talk amongst yourselves. Yeah,
well, like, she made me laugh.
Oh, I remember now.
Do it.
The very end when Dr. Wackenstein gets...
Dr. Bernie.
Gets eviscerated. She screams and runs out of the barn. And as she turns to run away... For whatever reason, her skirt gets hiked up.
Oh, yes.
And
you can see like her
butt cheeks.
Yeah.
And it's not a thong. It's regular panties.
Yes.
But she's doing this, trying to
pull her skirt back down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely feel like that was a blooper that they just left in.
They just left it in. It made me, because I thought, is that cheek? Oh, it was. Oh, no. It was definitely not meant to be there.
Yes.
Not titillating or anything. That
It was like, ah, shit.
Yeah. I mean, since most of her outfits look like they came directly from Fredericks of Hollywood.
Oh, God.
The purple thing that she has on when they go to the hospital.
Yes.
I was like, oh, what? I laughed at the hospital scene when Tammy and Byron come rushing in. And they run to like the reception desk and they're like, we're here to see Michael, blah, blah, blah. And the receptionist is like, oh, hold on a second. And she starts like scrolling to look. And this rando guy walks up and like taps the counter and he's got multiple gunshot wounds in his chest that are like starting to leak blood. And she's like, hold on a minute, honey. And he just like
sinks behind the counter.
And she tells them what Michael's room is. And as they start to walk away. Byron compliments her fingernails. He's like, ooh, nice nails. And she's just like, girl. And so
they were claws.
Yeah, they were huge, big old long nails. Claws, right. Yeah. And then 5 minutes later,
not a lot in the hospital,
yeah, because the sanitary. Uh-huh. But the
Dr. Rock and Steve.
Yes, Dr. Bernie and Helga come in, and they walk up. They're looking for somebody different because they want to talk to the neurologist to know if the brain is fine.
Yeah.
And as they walk away, Helga turns back, and she was like, your nails are awful. And I was just like, why are we commenting on this lady's nails? Like, it was such a dumb thing, but it was so funny.
Oh. I feel like it was unscripted, and that was just that actor's excellent comedic instincts.
Yeah, one of them had to be scripted and the other one
I think that's the way,
you know, filled it in for sure. Also, Tammy's dad, the wimpiest dad ever.
Oh yeah.
Because Billy and the crew show up and they like look out the window and the mom's like,
oh, like, no,
he goes, I'll take care of it, because mom's like, I'm gonna call the cops, and he's like, no, I'll take care of it. And then he doesn't. They just bowl right past him.
He opens the door for them, and
yeah,
he did.
He's like, hey, you guys.
Yeah.
You stop that.
Right. Oh, yeah. It was dumb.
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
Oh, this movie is so crazy. Like, the tone of this movie is so weird, where we go from the sheer silliness of some of this. Like, when Mike, the Dino Mike, is first born. And he eats Billy, and he steps on Muscles, and then
Bobby.
He goes out.
Bobby,
and
he kills Bobby.
Yeah.
That guy.
And he tries to call Tammy on the phone.
Oh, my God, I forgot.
And,
yes.
And like, so, A, just the image of, like, obviously, like, a little T-Rex arm on, like, a grabber or something. Because, like,
I think it was a puppet hand.
Yeah, it was a puppet hand.
Like, right.
Somebody had their hand in this.
Yeah.
And it happened a lot of times.
A little T-Rex claw, like dialing the number.
That's it, exactly.
Three little fingers.
And then gets her number, and then he checks for change in her slot. And I'm like, this is so fucking weird.
Yes, yes.
He just had somebody's head chopped off, and he was checking for change at the payphone.
Well, and like, I would like to know exactly where this warehouse is. Like, what kind of businesses are being developed around this warehouse? Because first we have it's a warehouse. Okay, fine, that makes sense. But it's a warehouse that has a payphone that an old lady's placing bets on.
Yes,
yeah. And then just next to it is a bar of some kind, because we have that couple stumble out and they think that Dino Mike is like a statue of something. So, and they're like, oh my God, look at this thing. And the lady's like, I'd love to have a person belt made out of this, or shoes in the purse made out of this. And he just goes, rah. And then they just run away. And I was like, the fuck is happening in this movie?
I don't know. Whatever it is, the funeral scene for Mike's body. And like, Dino Mike is hiding
behind
a tree.
Yes,
crying mechanical or dino tears.
Yes.
Waterwork.
Yes, because
Uncle Bob
is like, I'm a drunk and I shouldn't have been raising this kid.
He's like, I love my dead gay son.
Yeah, it's essentially what it was. Like, he was like, I shouldn't have been doing this. But he always gave me hope, and now I have no more hope. And like, when they're in the hospital still, somebody takes the flask away from Uncle Bob.
Yeah.
His hand does not change position. It stays frozen in the I am holding a flask position. And when they give it back to him, they just fit it back in his hand. And you just see his fingers like close a little tighter around it.
At the cemetery, after they dug Paul Walker up, Uncle Bob is passed out and leaning up against another tombstone.
Right, when they decide to jump in the grave.
The rats and the maggots were just
so gross.
Cherry on top of this sundae. Dude, these things are sealed. It's going to be days later after this kid has passed away. You're not going to have rats and maggots.
And you know, nobody has embalmed this child, because they would have realized, hey, his head was cut open and stapled back on with like a home staple gun. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was moments like that. Like, okay, Donna watched this with me, and it was just a continuous series of deep, deep sighs. I believe it. Oh, my God. Like, it was just...
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, then why in the world would, like, no, let's not start kicking the tires on this one.
No.
Like, we're not going to be pleased with what, you know, like, let's not open the hood on this one.
Yeah.
Like
it,
we're not going to be pleased with what we see underneath. And, but the thing is, like, I was actually pretty pleased at how not seriously this movie took itself.
Oh, correct. It did not. Everyone, all the stars or all the actors were just hamming it up as best they could.
I feel like Denise Richards was kind of trying to play it straight in some moments.
Scenes, yes.
Byron says, oh, baby, this is going to be a bumpy ride. Hold on to your tits. And she goes, she nods and then grabs her tits.
Right. That is not playing it straight. That is definitely camping it up for sure.
But like, tearfully grabbing onto a dead mechanical dinosaur boyfriend, or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, Mike, no. Like, I think that she was trying to kind of play that straight. Like,
yeah. I think that, yeah. And I think it just depended on what the scene called for. Like, the bumpy ride, okay, we're hamming it up. When she and Byron beat up Billy and the goon number one in the hospital, and they do their weird little hi-ya, high five back and forth to each other afterwards, and then start laughing, I was like, this movie was written by eighth graders. Like, I was like, I've seen...
Or over a weekend by somebody...
Right. It made me think of one of the kids that Millie does theater with. He and his buddies make these little movies.
Oh,
and they're...
I love it.
Oh my God.
Let's review them.
Timmy in the Well is maybe one of my favorite movies ever.
Timmy in the Well? Oh my God.
So dumb. But like, they're super into it. One of them, their mom for Christmas gave them a briefcase full of fake money as like a prop for like their movies or whatever. So like, he opens a box that's like this briefcase and it's full of all of this like pretty realistic looking fake
mom
money.
Mom gets it.
Mom totally gets it. I love this kid and his mom. They're amazing. But that like hi-ya thing, I was like, I should suggest that for the next install of Timmy and his adventures.
Timmy falls in a canyon.
Yeah, I can't remember where they are at this point now.
So this is a series. Timmy falls in a...
Yeah, I don't... I mean,
Mad Lib.
The thing that's great about Timmy and the Well is there is no well, and Timmy's not actually in it. But it's called Timmy and the Well.
I don't care.
And there's like a magician and they disappear at one point, and they so badly got the giggles at one point with what they were doing, but they managed to do their physical action enough that they just deleted the sound and did a voiceover. So that what's supposed to be happening is explained so you can understand the movie.
Someone's narrating this part of the...
Yeah.
Voiceover is exposition.
Yeah. Because that they're laughing so hard that they can't actually say the things they're supposed to be saying. That's great. Oh, that's
my microphone smells like beer.
Does that mean
because
you
keep
one?
Pouring the beer on the microphone?
I know what I did.
I know.
Yeah, it smells like Imperial Stout.
Do you want to update it with a new flavor?
Yes.
New scent.
All right.
How else can I ruin this sensitive electronic equipment?
There we go. Well, we have another beverage for you.
Excellent. Let's go get it. We'll be right back.
Beer.
How did I splash myself again? How did I get...
It's because it's brains.
Brains?
Well, it is brains. So this is from...
It's not brains. It's brains. Yes.
I feel like we've had something similar to this.
I'm sure that we have, because we've done other zombie-like things.
Delicious brewery.
So this brewery is called, and I don't have the can in front of me, and it's not on my notes.
Bloop.
Is called
Drekker,
and they are out of Fargo, North Dakota.
Oh my God!
They are big time. Like, their logo has like a nice, good Viking guy on it.
Oh, with the beard and the horns.
Yeah, with the beard and the horns and all that kind of stuff. And so they seem like a kind of, I mean, I don't really have any desire to ever go to North Dakota necessarily, but if I found myself in the Fargo area, I'm definitely going to this brewery because the brewery building began its life in 1880 as, so 9 years before North Dakota even became a state. And the building was built by Northern Pacific as a locomotive repair building and foundry. So that's what the building started its life as. But now it's a place called Brewhalla.
Oh, like Valhalla. Oh, my God.
It reminds me. The way that it looked when I looked at it on the website is the Brewhalla is the home of the brewery.
Okay.
But it's not just this place. Like, it's a brewery and, like, a tap room. It feels to me like it might be, it reminds me of the Bud Dairy here in Columbus. Okay. I think the brewery is, like, the flagship, takes up the most amount of space. Mm-hmm. I think they started this whole thing.
The anchor store.
Yes. But then I think there are other small little restaurants, maybe shops, other tap rooms all throughout the whole place. And it seems really fucking cool.
Sounds like my kind of joint.
Yeah, it seems really fucking cool.
All the hippies go there, yeah.
Yeah, and so, and then one of the other things I thought was cool about this is, like, the can artwork is
really good.
It's cool. And on the, when I was trying to figure out exactly where they were, like, are they actually in Fargo, North Dakota, or, like, are they outside of it, or whatever, I was looking for an address, and I was looking at the frequently asked questions section. Somebody had asked, yep, who does their can art, and they said that Punch Gut does all of our label artwork. He's from Fargo and is just all around awesome. This is directly from their website.
Aww.
And it says you can check out his other stuff here. There's a link, which doesn't help you now, but go look at the website.
It does not.
And then he said, we also have a ridiculously talented designer on staff, Nathaniel, and he does all kinds of amazing things as well. So they've got, it seems to be one guy who's on staff, and then they've contracted with another local artist to do their can art. And I was looking at a lot of their different cans, and this, like, sour series, this one is called Brains. There was another one that was also a sour series that was some kind of, like, brain name as well. It's like they do a whole bunch of them under kind of like that sub label. So this is Brains, and the other one was something else, Brain.
Intestines.
Well, it was still Brain because it's like this whole zombie kind of thing. But then as they get, like, done with the flavors that they're going to be using for that series, then they kind of switch and it'll be something else that's their sour, that's the Brain subject or whatever. And this flavor that I brought, the raspberry guava, is now a retired flavor.
No!
So they won't be making any more of this, but there are still a bunch of other ones that seemed really good. The so cherry...
There's a whole series of Brains.
Yes, there's a whole series, and they're all sours.
Okay.
But they're not all sour smoothies. Because the other one I was tempted to get at Perfect Pour was... Same brewery, same concept. It was not a smoothie, and it was called Cherry Bomb. And I was like, ooh, I don't know if cherry is going to be medicine-y, because that can be iffy. And
this
since
is quite frankly
I have never had anything from this brewery before, at least not that I can totally remember.
Yes, we have.
Well, and I'm not always a big fan of the smoothie sour.
It does have weight to it.
Right.
This is incredible. This is opaque. It's got particulates in it.
Yes.
It looks like a milkshake, genuinely.
Does it bring all the boys to the yard?
I don't know. I haven't tried it yet. So
I think the boys might enjoy it if they did.
What have we had from this brewery?
So I was just flipping in through my notebook, and look what I found. I found a picture.
Oh, that looks very similar.
That looks very similar to the can that I'd been sketching.
Oh,
and
really?
It was from our zombie strippers episode.
No way.
So I flip back to the
zombie years ago. Yeah.
Flip back to zombie strippers where we drank Drecker Brewery's Brains Blackberry Guava.
Oh,
that's hilarious.
So this is our second Drecker's Brewery.
I'm for it.
Yeah, I am perfectly happy with that because this is really freaking good.
This is
delicious.
It
is smooth.
Yeah, I'm
very glad I shared this.
Was it a smoothie? The other one we had.
What we have is,
it just says blackberry guava.
This is plenty.
Oh,
I'll click the link.
Fun little warning on the on the can.
Oh yeah.
Sorry.
There's a warning on the can. That's terrifying.
Don't drink.
Okay. Fun little warning on the can. There is a significant amount of fruit in this beer. Please keep cold at all times to avoid finding out why some call it a fruit bomb.
Oh no.
Uh oh. Ruh-roh, Raggy.
So I'm assuming with the fruit, there's a possibility of further fermentation.
Oh.
And causing the
cans. The cans to pop.
Yeah. And suddenly you have.
Well, these were definitely in the refrigerated section.
Yeah.
At the thing.
The one that we had before was a blackberry, guava, and lemonade. According to the link.
I thought brain sounded.
Yeah, me too. And then I literally, as I was flipping to find my page today, saw that sketch I'd made of the can. So
that's funny.
Wow.
But
it's
yeah,
an experience.
Well, the other one was not a smoothie like this, because this is thick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not unhappy about it.
I'm not unhappy either. But it's an experience for sure.
Yeah.
I think about 8 ounces is what I'm ready for.
Yeah.
This 16 is a shareable drink. This
I'm glad we shared.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I thought was cool when I was looking at their website is they have a monthly project that they call, because again, they're into the whole Viking thing, that is called the Do Good, Give Back, Unpillage. And so every month, since they opened in 2014, they choose a local charity and they have a... like a charity night where $1 from every beer sold goes toward whatever that local charity
that's wonderful
is. And it says that they have given over $100,000 to local nonprofits.
Fantastic.
So 10 years, $100,000. That's
$10,000 a year?
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So I thought that was great.
Why aren't more breweries doing that?
Right. I just love, they have a great logo that's like their same Viking logo, and it's a big like stone, and it says unpillage across the top, and then the bottom of it says conquer a cause.
Okay,
so,
just real quick.
That's wonderful.
So, okay, to pillage something is, or some place or whatever. To pillage is to steal.
Yes.
Via violence.
Right.
So to unpillage, is it to give back via violence?
No.
Or is it to steal? Pillaging. You're giving back via love.
Anti-pillage.
Okay. So it's not to steal via love or to...
Take this back!
Or
it's to give back.
It's your fucking money.
It's to give back with love.
Here's your daughter. God damn it.
It's the opposite of every single thing. If it is to steal with violence, this is to give with love. I claim it, so it be.
Aww.
That's way less funny than what I was saying.
Well,
but actually makes a lot more sense.
So, yeah.
It's Mike to Billy.
That's right.
Oh, God, though. Honestly, Mike is a little bit of a psychopath himself, considering that he kills about half of his class at that party that he winds up at.
Yeah, and
he
eviscerates people, bite their heads off.
Well, it's all the bad people.
Have you ever killed anybody?
Yes, but only bad people.
Yeah, but they were all bad.
That was it.
Yeah. Because it's... It's Bobby and Muscles,
and then it's
Aaron Burr.
And then the two guys he steps at the party, and then the two guys that hid under the car.
Well, jumped on the car.
And crushed them, yes.
Yeah.
I apparently these were all background Billy people.
Yeah.
But like, I was just like, who's this dude?
No idea.
He's dead, that's for sure.
Yeah. They were all Billy goons. I mean, that's how I had them labeled in my notes and whatever.
Oh my God.
Donna especially did not like that girl at the fight who was like, yeah, God, I can't get that. And then later was like having sex with Billy before she got her leg bitten off.
Yes.
Oh my God, that scene. I'm good, right?
Oh, God.
I'm good, right?
I hated that. That was so pathetic and like...
That's why it's freaking hilarious when she dies.
Was he asking her if he was good in bed?
Yes.
Or was he asking for permission to climax?
No. He was asking.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Because like she starts screaming.
Well,
and so he's like, yeah, look what I'm doing. I'm getting her...
All of the... fake screaming noises to begin with, and then she really starts to scream when Dino Mike is hovering over them in the background, And he is seeing that as like cheering on, like, I'm good, right? Except it's coming out in the most pathetic, like, I'm good, right?
That actually, that moment might be one of the best examples of like a complex performance, because it can be seen as like, yeah, I'm good, like in a sort of like a alpha male bravado way, but also be construed as, I'm good, right? Like this, I'm
justifying.
There's no construe. That's exactly what he's saying.
Yes.
So yeah. So it's giving that, you know, he's only evil because he's actually searching for love, which is fucking bullshit. Because that is not how people actually act. They use that excuse and then they punch you again and go, "I'm sorry, babe. We'll never do it again."
Right.
It's just that nobody understands me.
Right. No. Fuck you. We understand you exactly. Dillweed.
Yeah. I think the dinosaur whole point eats of that whole like, I'm good, right, is to drive home the point that he really does just suck as a person.
Right. And he's just pathetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is great because he gets beheaded like a couple of minutes later.
Right. All the baddies get their comeuppance in this film.
Yes.
As far as the, like, there's no twists or anything in this movie. It is pretty milquetoast. Yeah. It is Hollywood happy ending? Question mark.
It's interesting. A twist implies complexity.
Correct. No, it's not. There's nothing complex in this.
It's interesting. The only one I can think of in Billy's crew that doesn't get eaten is the girl that's with the psycho girl. And then she had come up to Tammy at the party and apologized.
Oh. Michelle, I believe her name is?
Yeah, Michelle is what she's called at the party.
She's like,
I'm
really sorry about what happened with Mike.
And she lives then.
And
so...
I never see her get eaten at
She's manages to run away.
She's the sane friend. Yeah. She's the storm from the Misfits in Gem and the Holograms.
I guess. But she's the one who...
How the fuck did I pull that one out?
I don't know.
Dave,
she...
Deep-seated problems.
Mike seems to be...
9.5%.
Not going on a rampage to kill. He just has no...
Energy.
Impulse control when he finds himself in a situation with the people he's mad at.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, he's upset at being turned into a dinosaur, so it's Bobby and Muscles that get it. He is looking for Tammy, finds her at the party, or I don't even know if he really finds her at the party, but he finds the party, and at the party is Billy and all the goons that beat him up and left him at the wild animal park, which I didn't even talk about in my synopsis. So where he runs up the tree and comes face to face with the panther and then jumps back down.
And there's a lion.
Mauled by the lion.
And
then
do we think that the wildlife guy shoots the lion or not?
I think he shot the lion.
Because he shoots off screen.
Mm-hmm.
I think the presumption is he's shooting the lion.
Because that's what you do. If your animal is attacking a human, you shoot the animal.
Depends on the human.
But in that moment.
In this case, technically, Billy's the hero, so okay. But
no,
I'm just saying.
Mike.
That's what I mean, Mike.
No, it's like, what?
Yeah, I definitely would not have shot the lion for Billy.
Good boy.
Help, police, murder.
Right, exactly, exactly. Oh, no, please, stop. Okay, don't do that.
I can't gauge you right now, Kathleen. I don't know if you like this or not, and I'm not asking for a rating at this moment, but...
You're asking for my likes and dislikes.
Was there something you liked?
Oh, yeah, there were a lot of things I liked in this movie.
Okay.
So, yeah, I liked... I thought Dr. Burney was stupid and hilarious.
Yeah.
I liked... I thought Byron was funny when Billy shows up at the hospital and he's like, it's the beast, run, beauty. Like, I thought, like, all of Byron's lines were dumb cliches or, you know, like, they were clearly not well thought out dialogue, but I thought they were funny.
And that's it. Those are the two things.
No. Just the whole concept. I thought the concept of the whole movie was silly, but not in a I'm angry at it way. And the business plan of Dr. Burney and Helga was funny and silly. So And there were just like zinger lines through the whole thing. So I guess those are like the things that I liked. What I did not like the end.
Oh, God. That was so cringy.
Yeah. In Tammy's room after the
dancing.
Dinosaur part dies. But somehow, we don't know how, through the magic of off screen, the brain is removed from the dinosaur, hooked up to electronic somethings. It's soaking in some kind of juice to keep it alive.
She's
allowed to pour a beverage over it once a day, which somehow he absorbs.
Well,
ingests.
If you've ever accidentally snorted alcohol up your nose.
I believe only one of us
hey,
have
Dave,
done that.
Hey, Dave, speaking of snorting alcohol up your nose.
does that get you drunk faster?
No, but it apparently makes me the subject of mocking derision. I appreciate it. For the record, it burns and you don't get any drunker.
Okay. Oh, well, we're debating what Michael actually gets out of the whiskey being poured over his brain. Because this is the thing I hated the most. I mean, did I love the blood fountain? No. Did I love Bobby still being covered in blood when he comes back in to eat his pizza? No. Did I love the maggots and rats on the body? Now, the rats I didn't care about, but the maggots were a little over the top. Some of the ick from when people got their guts ripped out or got squished, like the Twister Goon.
Yeah, Weasel was his name in the
movie.
Oh, yeah.
His was
Waylon?
Like nothing. Like it was it, you know, like when he reaches his little T-Rex hand, it barely looks like he pets him. And then he's holding like insulation foam that's covered in Cairo syrup, you know, like it was like nothing. And then
T-Rex throwing Dr. Bernie's guts at Helga.
Right. Gross, but kind of funny.
It's pretty funny.
So I was like, okay. But no, the thing that I did not like about this movie was the very end when she's...
It's so weird and uncomfortable.
Yes. Sexy and dancing.
If you're supposed to be a high schooler one.
Correct.
But are you making out with a hologram? I don't know.
She's not doing anything but performing. Like,
right.
It is full on peep show.
Right.
You know?
And he's loving it.
Yeah. And, like, I don't quite understand how the electronic aspect of the brain hooked up to the camcorder microphone. Clearly, there's a speaker somewhere because she can hear him. They're having conversation. And like her outfit and dancing and whatever.
Oh, you mean the white stockings with garters with a white lace bustier?
That's the one.
Mm-hmm.
And the feather boa. Short circuit, like he's like shooting sparks. And I'm like, isn't that going to like bust the brain? And she makes a comment like, and everybody knows that this brain exists and that this brain is alive and that
it's in her room
and it's in her room. And like she and medical authorities are looking for potential bodies to put it in because she makes that comment when she first comes in that
they found skiers.
Yeah, they found skiers, somebody from like a plane crash or something.
Right,
and like they should be reaching out to her about that. And it's like,
okay, this movie is already like precariously Jenga balanced and you're like flicking at the bottom blocks here.
Well, this is the thing that I hated is that ending scene. That's why I felt like the movie needed to end with the two of them riding off into the sunset. If you want the happy ending, that's what it should have been. If you want the not happy ending, then it's her thrown over top of him as the dying dinosaur that he's got blasted away by the cops. If you want that but a happy ending, then they need to have made a robot that fucking looks like Paul Walker and put his brain back in it so she has the guy that looks like the thing and the brain is back in there. Go with Dr. Bernie's plan. Just don't be a fucking weirdo and put it in a dinosaur.
Unfortunately, they killed the guy that invented this, so I don't know how they're going to get his brain back into a body.
Well, she's got the World Health Organization finding plane crash victims for her. So clearly somebody else can do it. And Helga is still around.
Helga is still around.
Yeah.
True.
She's no dummy.
Well, I mean, they could actually just go to Detroit and put it in the body of RoboCop.
Yeah.
I want that to happen.
Tammy and the T-Robocop.
Sequel.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Oh, that's a
Tammy and the Ed 9000.
Oh, in different contexts.
Yeah, different contexts.
It took me a second.
So that's where I am.
I love it. Dave, how about you? Did you hate anything, really?
Did I hate everything? Okay. Under normal circumstances, a movie this bad, I would be like, whatever. If it was an earnest attempt at making a good movie. But
which clearly it wasn't.
Correct. No. So, like, I just appreciated it for what it was. I watched it knowing full well this is not going to be high art. And
it's barely low art.
Yeah.
And so, understanding that and putting my bar very low, it still managed to be a piece of shit. So, but not an unenjoyable piece of shit. So, I mean, what did I like about it? I liked the fact that it didn't take itself seriously. It was stupid and goofy and hilarious, and I feel like a lot of the gags in there were put in there because the filmmakers, like, thought it was funny. It doesn't hurt to look at Denise Richards for, you know, 90 minutes or whatever. It was really cool to see Bernie walking around.
Talking.
Alive.
Not being propped up by two assholes. It was interesting to see Paul Walker that young. Because this precedes Pleasantville by 3 years.
Yeah.
And he was still like, looked like a baby.
Yeah.
But then 3 years after Pleasantville comes The Fast and the Furious, where he actually looks like a man.
Yeah.
So it's cool
amazing
kind of
the difference
that.
Between 21 and 27.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did I like it? Yeah, I mean, I liked those parts of it. I honestly actually kind of was impressed with some of the animatronics.
Yes.
It's a good dinosaur.
Yeah. I didn't like the fact that it sucked. It was just a shit movie. I mean, let's just call it as it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a couple of things could have been tweaked so that it would have been a funny, intentionally funny B movie, like super silly and ridiculous, without being like Octoroid versus like RoboCroc or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Gatoroid, sorry. Which is like supposed to be stupid and like it's like laying it on pretty thick.
Mega Shark and Croc.
Yeah. Yeah. And Octoroid, something. Yeah.
Yeah. Frankenfish.
Yeah.
Frankenfish. That's pretty bad.
Like the bionic polar bear versus like Robo Pterodactyl or something.
I want to see that.
Damn it, Dave.
My money's on Robo Bear or Robo. Whatever. Doesn't matter. I don't know if there's any fixing this movie, to be perfectly honest. It was just slapped together by people who just wanted to make a movie. And measured by that metric.
They did it.
Yeah. Mission accomplished. Yeah.
That is definitely a movie.
And you're going to like it or you don't like it. And either way, you know what? Interesting idea. The budget for this movie is about $1 million. I cannot find any information on the actual box office return.
Maybe it was direct to video. I
think it was direct to video. Okay.
In which case, I don't know. There's no numbers on how well it did. Not well enough for a sequel.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. I'm really curious to know exactly how much money this movie made. Because $1 million is a lot of money to spend in 1994 for a shit B movie.
Yeah.
Hey, Troy, what do you think, bud? I know you. I love you, Troy.
Yeah.
You're all right.
Exactly. It's funny. It's weird. It's so weird that I kind of enjoyed it. Like, it's so out there. And like, honestly, some of the things that were the worst about it are the things I like the best. Like, the fact that they could not animate that dinosaur walking.
Oh, no.
Cracked me up.
They had it on a crane or something. And
yeah.
Well, there's one point where like they've just got a cutout, obviously, that's like just they just make it bigger. It's not moving really at the party. I was like, what the fuck are you seeing?
Oh, yeah.
But I kind of loved it because I'm like, they're doing what they can. Because they spent all their money on the gore, which is funny because we found out, I don't know if we've said this, where.
We talked
this
about
is a PG-13 movie.
Oh, yeah.
A PG-13 rating, and they've released the gore version. And, like, the gore is pretty, like,
it's substantial,
yeah. And, the blood is, like, really ketchup-y red and, like, everywhere. Yeah. And which makes it kind of really disturbing at points. Like, especially when Billy gets his head bitten off, and then they drop his head, but his head's not, like, head-shaped anymore. It's, like, squished.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, a fold of skin with a bunch of ketchup slopped on it.
It's like there's no... None of these people have a skull after they die.
Right. Well, I think...
Like, I don't know if, mask. Like, they... Like, because the guy that gets stepped on and flattened, when she, like, picks him up, she, like, waves him like a pancake. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, like, and so it's like
there's no, like...
Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, there's no bones in there at all. And Billy's head is the same way. Bobby's kind of has more substantial shape to it still.
There might be a skull in there.
Yeah. Because it feels like his was more like, I'm so angry, grab the skull, rip off. But like Billy gets picked up by it. So it's like the whole skull must get like crushed to like powder. Because then when it drops back down, it's just like an empty mass. Yeah.
It's like a flap of skin.
Yes.
Yeah, deflated football.
And we laughed about the gore thing when, because technically Michael is supposed to be, his big injury comes from this lion mauling him.
Yes.
But then he's in the hospital. He doesn't have one wound on him. Nothing at all. There's no bloody bandages or anything like that. And the gore doesn't come until the dinosaur starts. Well, until they cut his head off, I guess. Like, that's where the gore starts, is where you're...
And the erections.
Yes, I did reference that in my synopsis.
Not my erection.
No.
Michael's corpse erection.
Yes.
They're playing
by his brain.
They're playing with the points of in his brain that can make him kick his leg
Oblongato.
Or...
You know, when I woke up this morning, I didn't actually expect to say the word corpse erection.
But yet, here we are.
I'm glad I could share this
with
you guys.
The corpse erection was in the PG-13 version.
And lows that this podcast brings you to, right?
Well, but I did love the romance of this movie. I mean, we do know that she did not love him for his body.
Oh, no.
For sure.
No, for sure. Yeah.
But she still definitely wanted a dude.
She loved him for his brain.
Yes.
Wait, what?
She still definitely wanted to.
When they were shopping for corpses, and they were like, here's a girl, like, I want a dude.
I want a dude.
She's like, I want a dude. Though Michael does toy with it.
Yeah, he
like,
does.
Like, when, like, do I want to be a girl?
One of my favorite parts of the entire film. He's like, maybe.
Yeah.
And his little puppet hands.
Yes, his little T-Rex arms.
Totter.
That definitely seem to do more than what a T-Rex arms can do.
Probably could do.
They have more reach, that's for sure. He could reach into the phone.
He could rest his hand firmly on Denise Richards' ass when they were
and play
sleeping
charades.
Together.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wait, did
and
that happen?
When they were in the,
when
bar,
in the barn.
They were in the barn, and they wake up. Byron knocks on the door. Are you decent? And she's fully clothed.
Yeah.
Which... was weird.
And it was weird that she made him wait as if she wasn't
on.
Fully clothed. Yeah. She like brushes hay off of her.
Whomever was working that puppet hand was definitely
copping a feel.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, the
whole. I don't mean to laugh, but it's like all gross.
That whole thing is just, it's, there's so much cringe factor to the love affair thing. It's just, ugh. And Billy. I don't know. I don't even know what to say about Billy. I do like
he's
the
just
fact
trash.
That they just dropped him off in the middle of an animal preserve and then just left him. He's like, he'll figure it out.
Well, they wanted him to be killed without being directly implicated in his death.
Right.
We didn't kill him. The lion did.
There's absolutely no possible way he's going to have his brain implanted into an animatronic dinosaur that's going to come back and kill us in a murderous rage.
Exactly.
See, I would agree with you normally on
all
that.
All right, bad guys.
Point.
Keep that in mind when you drop off people in the lion cage.
That's
this
right.
This might come back as animatronic monsters to come and
hop on your car
career.
And crush you and under the car.
Squish you under the car.
That part was awesome.
And eviscerate you, and then later you'll go do a Got Milk commercial.
That's right.
Did you like this movie at all, Pete? What did you like it or what did you
I not like? I love this movie, and I don't want to say anything more. I just want to give it a rating. So let's get into the six-pack rating.
Fine.
We've covered everything that I wanted to cover. So
yep, that's fine.
All right.
Let's just get into the six-pack rating. Dave!
What?
We have a unique rating system.
Yes,
tell,
I know that.
Tell the audience, tell the listener what they can expect here.
Okay. So we here at Good Beer, Bad Movie Night have a unique rating system. As Pete said, we have the six-pack rating. Well, we'll rate a movie from zero beers to six beers. Zero beers means you enjoy the movie completely as is, need no alcohol. Six beers means you need to be completely inebriated in order to tolerate the movie. So that being said, I'm going to start with myself.
Dave, go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, how am I? I'm fine. Thank me.
Me
I'm welcome.
Good.
I said to myself, self?
I give this movie three beers because I don't hate it. I don't love it. It's a terrible movie that I happened to kind of enjoy after about being halfway drunk. So, yeah, three for Dave.
I'd like to go next.
Okay, Troy wants to go next. So, Pete, how many beers? No, you know what? No, I'm not going to be that big of a jerk. So,
it's a good joke.
Troy, how many beers do you need to review the movie?
What you said, exactly. Like, exactly. You're like, as you were saying the words, I'm like, oh, that was what I was going to say. So three.
Strumming my pain with his fingers.
Yeah.
I heard he made a good rating. I heard he had a style. It's like he read my letters. Anyway, sorry. Never mind. Okay. Okay, please cut that out.
So you're editing.
No, Troy is.
No, I'm editing this one.
It's like he read my letters.
I'll leave in what I want to leave in.
I read them each out loud. Pete, how many beers do you require to watch this movie?
Zero.
Zero beers for Pete.
This movie made me giggle from the beginning. I recognize this is not a good movie. I recognize that the acting is dodgy at best. The special effects are silly. But I hate movies that try to be bad movies.
Yes.
For some reason, this one tried to be a bad movie and made me laugh through the whole thing. So
I think there's a difference between a bad movie and a camp movie.
This is
and
okay.
I feel like this is really campy versus being bad.
There's a difference between making a movie because you think it's going to be a fun movie and making a movie because you're trying to capitalize on other people enjoying campy movies.
Oh, well said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, zero. Zero beers for me.
All this, right.
This is an anomaly because normally I don't care for I'm trying to be a silly movie. Man, this one hit all my buttons.
All right, so zero for Pete because of the no buttons. Or all the buttons?
All the right buttons.
Kathleen, how many beers do you require to watch this movie?
I am also a three beer person for this one as well. It is dumb in all the ways that dumb can be enjoyable. And it is good in its camp and understanding itself. And being a dumb movie that's well done for dumbness. But it would have been two if they had ridden off in the sunset. And that would have been the end. The dancing at the end just completely grossed me out. And I suddenly felt like I was watching a totally different movie.
Okay, real quick. We don't normally do this, but if that part, if that last 5 to 10 minutes were removed from the movie and they Denise Richards rides off mechanical Mike T-Rex into the sunset.
Mm-hmm. Dynamike.
Yes.
Would that have Dino Mike. Thank you.
Would that have removed a beer for you?
Yeah, it would be two beers.
Was it the dancing or the fact that the brain was now in her bedroom?
I didn't necessarily care that she was keeping the brain in her room.
The because, dancing like, was...
that was the whole point, is that she's trying to save Mike. And she wanted to get that out of the dinosaur and into a body. So it makes sense that if they were able to get it out from when the dinosaur, the animatronic aspect of the dinosaur dies, which I'm still not entirely clear about.
He's bleeding. He's a machine.
Science that I don't want to get into. But it's very Toho science. That
so really what it is the idea of a 16-year-old dressed up in fetish wear and dancing nonsensically for no reason.
Well, dancing sexily on purpose to
her bodiless boyfriend.
Correct.
In virtual reality or something.
Correct.
I have such a virtual boner right now.
The fact that
she's
doing it in the middle of the day also kind of made me creeped out.
Well, I think it was after school.
Yeah.
Which is gross, too.
They're kids.
So I'm just going to come home and do my 16-year-old fetish dance in my lacy bustier for my brain boyfriend.
That to me,
I feel like that sentence has never been said before, ever.
Prior to like the whole like happening of this movie, they have not consummated their relationship.
I don't think so.
Oh, that's right.
They're still, because like they're kind of hiding being boyfriend, girlfriend because of stupid Billy. She finally, after the ball twisting fight, is like, I'm tired of being alone she invites him over. They're going to, but then Billy busts in and ruins all of that and then kills him. So I just don't feel like this is where she'd be going with this relationship.
I hate to say that she's hot and cold, but it's very weird. He gave her a flower.
Right.
Yes,
right?
A yellow rose.
And she rejected it.
Because if Billy sees it, Billy will kill him.
Right.
So he ate it.
No, I didn't. I didn't. Well, yeah, and that's how she found out he was the T-Rex. But I'm not ready for this. And she gave him the flower back.
Well, she tells him, because if he sees this,
okay,
he'll come after you.
I'm not ready for
that. Because she's not ready to be public because she can't figure out how to get rid of Billy.
Right, right.
Okay. It's not that she doesn't want to be with Michael. Right, but at any rate, yes, if they had ridden off into the sunset or the dino died, would have been sad, would have been weird. And or if they'd have come back with a Paul Walker robot for the body, then okay, fine. But the brain in the brain juice and the sexy dancing takes this to me in the wrong direction.
That's fair. Right, fair enough. That last 3 minutes is unnecessary. So anyway, we're done. Great. What was the scores there, Dave?
Oh, so it's a 3 from me.
Yeah.
3 from Troy.
Yeah.
0 from you. Yeah. And 3 for Kathleen.
Yeah. I like this movie. Kathleen, how can folks get a hold of us if they so choose to do so?
They can email us at GBB. No, I don't have it because I didn't write my notes in my normal notebook. I typed them on my computer and I
GBBMN
almost
podcast.
Straight from. No, it doesn't have podcast in it.
At gmail.com. GBBMN podcast at gmail.com.
Yep.
Okay. See, I don't know. I don't actually have it memorized. I just read it off of paper every time.
I know.
Here's what you need to do. You need to go to the Facebook group, which is Good Beer, Bad Movie Night group, because that is where we are the most active. That is where we will respond. That is where you can leave us questions, comments, cries of outrage, movie suggestions, beer suggestions, outfit suggestions for the boys. I don't know. I'm just picking stuff up, saying whatever. anything that you want. I mean, you know, whatever. And we're on Instagram at Good Beer Bad Movie Night. And I can't remember what our email is. And nobody emails us anyway, so it doesn't matter.
This is very true. I check it like once a month. We don't get nothing.
No. Because anybody who interacts with us does it on the Facebook group.
That's true. That's true. So thank you very much for listening. That was Tammy the T-Rex. I'm... We like this. I think this is a lot of fun. This was a grand movie.
I found it amazingly tolerable.
Yeah. Oh. Yep. That's high praise.
Honestly,
I hardly hated it.
Yeah. I would be glad to endure this again.
Sure. I'm just leaving at the end of the sunset scene.
Fair. So you can just stop.
Yeah. Like Phoebe's mom from Friends.
Yes. All right, so we're into May now.
Yep.
And this year we're not going to do any themed months this year. We've always done themed months, and May was always a Cinco de Mayo month.
Right.
And we always did a Mexican monster movie of some sort, that some weird shit that I would find. And last year wasn't actually Mexican. It was
Spanish. Right. It was in Spain.
It was in Spain.
I forgot about that.
Which was, I didn't.
It was a great episode, and what a fun movie. But, yeah, I fucked that up. Anywho.
That was the weird vampire one, right?
Witches.
Witches.
Witches, yeah. And bitches, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And the giant clay golem thing.
Yeah, De La Iglesia, the director. Anything from De La Iglesia, just go watch it.
We could do that one. We could do another one of his.
I wish we should. Yeah.
Well, but with this time, Circus, I think we're traveling to the deep Congo, right?
Well, we are. We are. We're doing something. I think, Dave, you suggested this.
Yeah.
And we all know how
Dave's suggestions go.
Yes, I know that. Thank you.
Especially ones that seem to be animal themed.
Wildlife themed. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you mean like the swarm?
The swarm.
Yes, the swarm. I realize this. You know what? Fuck you guys. I'm just going to keep fucking with you. I don't care.
Do it. I love it. So,
but yes, I did suggest Congo, and I guess that's what we're going to do.
Well, I'll be interested for this one because I remember seeing this movie in the theater.
I did as well.
And I remember not being angry.
Oh.
Did you ever read the Michael Crichton book?
No.
You would have been angry.
Well, I mean, that's normally what happens if I read the book and then see the movie. I'm angry because they never live up to it. But yeah,
although
I don't
Jurassic
know.
Park, the movie adaptation, as inaccurately as it adapted the book, an awesome movie,
yep. Yeah.
And an awesome book. They're not the same experience.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jaws, Peter Benchley's Jaws, same way.
Yeah. But that being said, Congo sucks. I'm glad we're going to watch it.
So, yeah, we've got two big... We have our patron saint in this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Bruce Campbell is in Congo.
Tim
Curry is, too.
And yes, Tim Curry, I remember.
Tim Curry
and Troy has never seen this movie.
Yeah.
I have never seen this movie.
You haven't seen it?
Wow.
Never seen
Congo.
Wow,
interesting.
I almost went to see Congo because Bruce was in it, and then I heard everybody complain about it and went, oh, okay, fine, I don't need to see that
I've
one.
Played this pinball machine a number of times, and it's very good.
What year did Congo come out?
95.
Okay.
Oh, that explains why I saw it. Okay.
Because you saw everything that year?
I did. Mm. My boyfriend worked at the movie theater.
Ah.
I literally saw everything.
The best parts of that movie, honestly, Ernie Hudson, Laura Linney, and Tim
Curry. Oh, Ernie Hudson's in it too, that's right.
Laura Linney, I love her.
Oh, I do love Laura Linney.
Well, we're going to find out if Congo is any good or not.
Or holds up.
I'm guessing one doesn't hold up and two isn't any good.
Probably.
It is a Dave pick, so...
Yeah, it makes sense.
We're in a
set your bar real low.
Set it real low.
And prepare to be angry.
I feel like I need to make you one of those t-shirts that's like the list of things. It's like, you know, you see
my
it
list
for like...
of shame.
Well, it's like you see it at like TV shows. Like it would say, you know, Ross and Rachel and Monica and Phoebe and Chandler and Joey. Yours would be like The Swarm.
The
and
Swarm, The Battle Beyond the Stars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild West.
Yes. Daredevil.
Daredevil.
Oh my God.
Congo.
All right.
Kind of funny.
Now I kind of want to make this t-shirt.
I could probably make that happen.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for listening. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next month with Congo. And until next time. This here is a testicular standoff.
Do you have one?
I don't want to see you for the rest of my life. Ever.
Well, we have another beverage for you.
Excellent. Ooh. Let's go get it. We'll be right back.
I have the biggest desire to go after these messages.
We will be right back.
I'm smart.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes Donna speaks to me vis-a-vis the cats.
Oh, right.
Hey, what you doing? What you do all day? Well, you at work all day?
Huh? That's hilarious.
Did you forget to sweep the front porch or bag up all the leaves?
Hmm? Oh. Hey. So your cats are as passive aggressive as your wife? Is that what you're saying?
Donna's pretty aggressive aggressive.
Yeah.
I'm smart.
Well, let's try that again.
Really?
I heard
welcome?
Flap.
Oh. Sorry.
All good. All good.
Sorry, I'm a little flappy over here. I'm smart.
Welcome to episode 83 of Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, the podcast dedicated to... stick to the script, Pete.
I'm smart.
Welcome to episode 83...
I'm smart.
Welcome to episode 83 of Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, the podcast dedicated to movies of question. Who is sniffing?
It's Flappy again.
I'm sorry.
Thank God we don't do a serious podcast.
One more time, let's hope.